TJ with us here too. Amen. Man, appreciate all the hard work that went into the glow in the dark. Around 400 were reached through that ministry. That's both of the nights together, and we appreciate all that effort. Tremendous effort, tremendous presentation of the gospel. Amen. If you turn with me to Romans 11 in our series on Sunday morning from the book of Romans, salvation in Romans. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be looking at Romans 11 today. I'm going to read just one verse here in a moment for a text, a target. We're going to pray over that, and then during the sermon, we'll be looking at the rest of this chapter. I'm going to try to take care of this chapter today. I'm always mindful of years ago when I was doing on Wednesday night a series on the life of David, and we've been in it several weeks. And the youth pastor at the time testified. He said, "I feel like we're living the life of David with him hour by hour." So I always keep that in mind. I don't want to get bogged down in this. There's just some tremendous things in Romans and things that are difficult, and you just can't treat them on a surface level. And we're praying that God would take His Word. How many really truly believes that every part of God's Word is intended to be helpful and beneficial to us? Every part. We have our favorite verses and portions of Scripture, but we get benefit from this. And Romans is an exciting book, and God wants to speak to us again this morning. Let's stand as our custom. We'll read one verse, and then we will pray and ask the Lord to be with us in the preaching today. Romans 11 and verse 5. "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant." Thank you. "There is a remnant according to the election of grace." In particular, I want you to notice the phrase there, the main part of the sentence. There is a remnant. There is a remnant. I want to preach this morning on a part of the part. A part of the part. You know, if only a part of those who claim to be the people of God are in fact truly the people of God, I think our desire ought to be a part of the part that is really the people of God. Amen. Think remnant. You can think a piece of that's been cut out of an old garment or left over from making a garment that's put into a quilt. Kind of keep that in mind, a remnant. But I want to be a part of the part. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, anoint us to speak the word that you have anointed to be written down. Lord, I pray that you would remove every distraction. Shut up my mind and heart to the truth. Nothing, Lord, but your truth. And Lord, may ears be receptive to hear. And as we continue in this service, may there be a growing sense of your presence. God, we confess unashamedly that we need you, and we need your presence, and we need to hear your voice, and we need to feel your touch. Lord, I don't know the plethora of needs that are here, but I pray you would begin to meet those needs even through the preaching of the word. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody shouted amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to begin with some remarks, and I beg your indulgence to hear me out before you jump to any conclusions. And I want to say this carefully, but not long back, our president announced in Europe that the United States is not a Christian nation. Many were rightly infuriated by that, but I would like to say this morning, the more I think about that, though I disagree with what our president intended by that statement, the more I think about it, I'm not so sure he isn't correct to say that the United States is not a Christian nation. Now, if you're talking about our nation being a Christian nation in the fact that the very fabric of the Declaration of Independence, the very fabric of the Constitution, comes right from the biblical Christian Judeo principles, then yes, we are a Christian nation. If you're talking about the fact that our founders, as they sat there and thought about the found of our nation, the fact that they had a Christian worldview, then yes, the United States is a Christian nation. If you consider the fact that our founders thought themselves, they intended to found a Christian nation, yes, our nation is a Christian nation. But if what is meant that the United States is a Christian nation, if what is meant that our nation is comprised of a majority of actual practicing, truly born again Christians who are genuinely the people of God, I'm not so sure that our nation is a Christian nation. I know the statistics say that between 70 and 80% of Americans claim to be Christians. But my point is, if all of those Americans were truly Christians, we would not have the crime that we have. We would not have the abortion that we have. We would not have the hate that we have. We would not have the racism that we have. We would not have the deadbeats that we have. We would not have the immorality, the fornication, and the adultery. I'm not trying to be dismal or negative, but I'm here to preach this morning that everything that calls itself Christian isn't truly genuine Christian. In fact, if I read the Bible, the scripture correctly, I am to understand that only a part of those who claim to be the people of God are genuinely the people of God. Only a part of them. I didn't say that to be dismal. I said that to say this: if only a part are truly the people of God, I intend on being a part of the part. Hallelujah. I'm not here to be arrogant. You'll hear that in the message. But I'm here to raise the alarm that so many are deceived in thinking that anybody that claims a name that visits a church is a part of the people of God. I say that's not true. Amen. God's people are but a remnant, but a part of those that profess it. But by the grace of God, we can be a part of that part. Hallelujah. That's my prayer. Hallelujah. Today there prevails an attitude that once the people of God, always the people of God. Once blessed, always blessed. Once in His favor, always in His favor. Once a part of the church, always a part of the church. Amen. But I believe Scripture says, amen, it's just going to be a segment, a fragment, a remnant, a part of those that profess that are genuinely the people of God. And so I preach, let's be a part of the part. Let's determine we're going to be a part of that part, which is in fact the bride of Jesus Christ at His coming. In the scriptures, we'll look at them. I'll be reading rapidly at different portions. But Paul, first of all, talks about the remnant. Verse 1. I say then, have God cast away His people Israel? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 2. God hath not cast away His people Israel, which He foreknew. Know ye not, watch ye not, what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, what did he say? He said, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they that seek my life, that's all that's left. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Israel as a whole, still claiming to be the people of God, had went into Baal and Ashtaroth worship false gods. Elijah called him up to the mountaintop and that great conquest we can't get into. He proved once and for all that Baal was a dead, dumb, idiot type of God, and that God, Jehovah, was the one true living God. Oh, what a mighty conquest and contest, as God was proven to be God. All of Israel claimed to be the people of God, but the majority followed Baal. Even coming down from from that mountain. Elijah was depressed when he heard that his life had a bounty on it, that old Jezebel was seeking to take his life. He became discouraged and depressed, and he began to have a pity party. And he said, God, they claim to be your people, but they worship Baal. God, I'm the only one left. God said, wait a minute. You may be a part of the part, but I want you to know I've got 7,000 that have never bowed their knee. They've never surrendered their hearts to false gods. They serve me wholly and completely. Big nation of Israel, but only 7,000 served him. I'm telling you, it's the same today. I trust the numbers bigger than 7,000. But when you look around and you get discouraged of those that claim to be the people of God, but they don't live it, they don't walk it, they don't talk it, they don't have it. Amen. Before you get too discouraged, you remember this. God's going to have a remnant. He's going to have a number. And I intend by the grace of God to be a part of it. I want you to hear me carefully. I don't know what to do with this nation Israel thing. I know traditionally how we feel. But I want to say this morning, we can discuss it in another context. But I feel that two options have blindly supported the nation of Israel and whatever she has done. We've given her a blanket approval of whatever she desires to do. I know the scriptures pray for Jerusalem. He that blesses my people shall be blessed. We've given her a blanket approval. How many knows that most of the Israelites today, those that live in Israel, do not claim, do not serve our God? How many knows that? A lesser known fact is this, that Israel's policies have decimated through persecution, taking of homes. Israel's policy has decimated the Christian population of Israel. We support Israel as the political, geopolitical nation, and much of our support has resulted in the decimation of the Christian communities in Israel. The policies went directly against our fellow Christians in Israel. You can help me sort through all that. I do know God still has a plan for Israel. The reason I mention those things, we cannot just assume that all of Israel is true Israel. We want to take the geopolitical boundaries and say that's what God blesses. But the story is, throughout the book, the whole thing was never God's people, the true people. It was those that followed Him and served Him. It's a difficult thing, but you read through Scripture, and even in the end, all of Israel, amen, is going to about wound up, depends on how you look at it, at the number of 144,000 who truly are the people of God. Paul has said that in these verses I read, the whole Israel was no longer the people of God. They had rejected Christ. And only those that accepted Christ by grace and faith were the true people of God. And now Paul said, thankfully, we should be thankful, God has accepted even old Gentiles as His people. His people are no longer those born with the right blood within the right boundaries of a nation. But His people are those of every nation, every kindred, every tongue that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It was not that God had rejected Israel as His people or reneged on His covenant with them. It's the fact that Israel as the whole, Israel at large, had rejected God's plan of salvation through Christ. But Paul said, though that was true, amen, there was a remnant of Israel, including Paul and Peter and John and Andrew. There was a remnant of Israel that had embraced His plan, accepted Christ. And that group of Jews was the true Israel with every Gentile, with every every pagan, with every barbarian that accepted Christ, they together became the people of God. Even I remember a few years back when the Episcopal Church, even they said that they were going to accept homosexual clergy. There was a group of clergy and churches that said, no, we don't want to do that. That goes against God's word. And they said, we are going to withdraw from the church and we're going to start our own organization. We're not going to have a part with that. I heard the radio interview, and the interviewer asked one of the priests that was spearheading that, why are you leaving the church? Why are you leaving your church? Why are you leaving your denomination? He said, you don't get it. Yes, we're going to have to do some legal things to sever ourselves, but we're not leaving them. They're leaving us. We're simply believing what they've always believed. They're the ones that changed belief. Amen. God didn't reject Israel. Israel left God. Amen. God didn't kick Israel out. Israel refused to accept his gracious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that number that did, Paul said, is the remnant who are the true people of God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, I have come first to the Jews. But he said, I came unto my own, and my own received me not. But as many Gentile, but as many barbarian, but as many, oh, name the race, as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Paul said, I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Brother Wilson, every time he entered into a city, he first sought out the synagogue of Jews, and he preached to the Jews till they rejected him, and then he went to the Gentiles. It's the Israel that has left God, not God Israel. But I am so thankful that though just a remnant is the true Israel, I, a Gentile who have accepted Christ, I'm a part of true Israel. I'm a part of the true people of God. I'm a part of the remnant who are in fact the people of God. Verse 5. Even as then, as at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. We've dealt with that many times in Romans, salvation by grace. And I'm going to focus on this remnant principle. Remnant simply means, by definition, a small part that remains after the main part no longer exists. A small part that remains after the main part no longer exists. I got to thinking about this. I started to call Sister Harris or Sister Alexander up to bring me some. But with most things, the remnant is what's left when the whole's been made up. The remnant of cloth is what's left when the whole dress has been made up. And so they throw the remnant away. Most people do. But then there's ladies like Sister Harris and Sister Alexander and others. They take the remnant that is no longer part of the whole, and instead of throwing it away, they put it together and sew the remnants together and make a beautiful quilt. You see, most think the remnant is what's left when the whole thing is made up. But with God, he takes the remnants and makes the whole thing. He took the remnant of Israel. He took the part of the Gentiles. He took the part of this nation. And that, oh, when you get to heaven, you're going to see the patchwork, the quilt work of the remnants of every time, the remnants of every country, the remnants of that small part that said, I'm going to love God. And God's going to take all those remnants and make up the people of God. Aren't you glad to be saved this morning? Oh, hallelujah. If you're a part of that remnant, you ought to shout it. Young people, I might have lost you. I don't think so. I might have lost you already. I just want to warn you, there's a lot out there that calls itself Christian in church, but I don't believe by this book. I don't believe it's the genuine people of God. So right now, you need to determine in your heart, only a small part is going to make it to heaven, but by the grace of God, I'm going to be a part of that part. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He's making up a people. He's making up a bride. Hallelujah. Be in that number. Oh, we got to move on. God's people have always been a remnant. 7,000 in Elijah's day were the true people of God. Abraham had many children. Only Isaac's seed. Even many Israelites. Only those that did not bow to Baal. Many Jews in Christ's time. Only those that accepted Christ. And in the end, only 144,000. How many know that even this week, a liberal court found that a person does not have to prove that he is a citizen in order to vote in the coming election. This week, not circuit court. I got to thinking about that. I had two thoughts. First of all, is simply claiming to be a citizen enough? If so, one not need be a citizen. One need not become a citizen to claim all the privileges of a citizen. We shake our heads, rightfully so, being upset. But that's the quote-unquote gospel that's being preached in so many places. You can be a citizen with no proof. You can claim all the privileges of being a child of God and not really be one. Oh, we've got too much sham and fake. Why not just be a real one? Why not just get the real thing? Hallelujah. The second thought I had is, what meaning is there in being a citizen if those who aren't citizens can claim the same privileges as those who do? I mean, I'm a citizen, but if the non-citizen, I'm not getting into the immigration thing. I'm talking about this as an illustration. But if a non-citizen can have all the privileges I have, what good is that I am a citizen? There is a difference. I'm not being harsh. I'm trying to preach the truth of the gospel. People can say we're a church. They can say we're Christian. But unless there's the proof of the citizenship, unless there's proof of the life that conforms to this word, that's a mere profession. But I want you to know, with God's, not only are we citizens, but we're the ones that's going to get the full reward of being in truth and in reality His people. Hallelujah. Let's just stop and pray. I get in such a hurry, but let's just praise Him. Hallelujah. If you're truly saved, why don't you worship Him? Hallelujah. Why don't you glorify His name? Hallelujah. Today, to simply claim to be a Christian means you are a Christian. Today, simply saying you're going to heaven means you're going there. We notice that so often at memorial services today. And I never want to bring up anything unpleasant. But today, there can be a person you know lived wickedly, ill-treated her or his family, committed adultery, cursed and drink, never darkened the door of a church, never prayed a prayer. And people in the preacher will say at that service, this lady is in a better place now. They're in heaven. They're in the light. They're with God. That says to everyone in the building, amen, that there is just a profession is good enough. Just saying it is true. But I don't believe that. Paul said all that call themselves Jews are not Jews. And the inference is all that call themselves Christians are not true Christians. Even the true people of God, whether Jew or Gentile, are those who are currently actively trusting by faith in the grace and the mercy. They are the ones that are walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is continually cleansing them from all sin. You didn't say the true people of God are those that go to my church or sign our church roll. I said the true people of God are those who are actively trusting in Christ alone for their salvation. of the larger group of those that call themselves Christians, God's people, are the remnant. Oh, I want to be a part of the part. I got more there, but I'm going to go right on. I just want to remind you, Jesus said, few there be. That scares me every time. But instead of arguing with God, I'm just going to determine I'm going to be a part of the few. Secondly, the rest, the remaining. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. What of the rest of Israel, those that didn't accept Christ? What about the rest of folks? They claim to be Christians, but they're not. What are those who claim to be a part of church, but they're not? What about the not the remnant, but the rest, the left over after the remnant? Here's what Paul said. They're blind and they're deaf. Now stick with me here, because we're going to see there's no arrogance in this thing whatsoever. They were not blinded so they could not believe. They were blinded because they refused to believe. People misread these passages. They act like God's in heaven and arbitrarily he says, all right, you're blind, you'll never see the spiritual truth, you'll never serve God, and you can see. No, no. God never blinded them so they couldn't believe. He blinded them because they would not believe. They're not deaf to God so they can't hear them. They're deaf to God because they refuse to listen to him. And make no mistake, people of this world are blinded. Amen. Jesus awoke the disciples twice, but the third time he let them sleep. If you're not responding and you're comfortable in your rejection of God, God will let you sleep on. We got to get through these verses. Let's read on verse 9. And David saith, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. God wasn't trying to make them fall, but rather through their fall salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, those that aren't Jews, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? If the Jews not accepting God has had such effect, think what it's going to be when the Jews do accept God. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. I must just simply summarize those verses and to say it's an awful thing to reject God. In rejecting God, you place yourself in a horrible condition. You have stumbled. You have fallen. You are blind. It makes one think, if you reject God, you think you're right when you're wrong. You think you're on the right track. At the same time, you are stumbling and falling to awful destruction. Someone said years ago, there are none as blind as those who will not see. I wrote even this morning in an email in answer to a question. I said it is simply this. It's not that you cannot believe and you cannot accept Christ. It is that you will not believe and you will not accept Christ. Jesus said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. But I'm telling you, be that as it may, somebody is going to believe. I forgot to announce them, but that's why we're having choir by gospel tonight, inviting lost friends. Amen. A majority may not. Many are blind and stumbling to perdition, but I want you to know somebody's going to believe. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to hear the gospel and say, I want to be a part of the part. Last of all, this morning, Paul talks about the root. Let's read in verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit, Israel, be holy, then the lump is also holy. And if the root, Israel, is holy, so are the branches. Amen. Let's not be arrogant, Paul says, about this thing about being a part of the part. God's not through with his people, Israel. Israel is the root. And let me correct myself. In particular, Christ, who came from Israel, is the root. We Gentiles who are sitting here this morning, saved by grace, we're but branches. We're a foreign people that was grafted in to the branches. In Oklahoma, one of our native trees is the pecan tree. Pecan for the rest of you. Amen. They're everywhere. They're in our backyards. When I was really small, my dad had already started this and kept working on it. When I could remember, we had two native pecan trees in our backyard. How many's ever seen native pecans? Right? Brother Presley, he got to grafting in some different kind of pecans. Wanted to make that paper shell. And you know what? You know how big they were? A big one is. I'm not kidding. But that was a grafted. What I saw my dad do when he cut the tree and stick the branch in and however he tied it up, and he was grafting in. We were not the root. We were not the trunk. That was Israel. That was Christ. Even we were a different people. Oh, but in accepting Christ, he cut the tree. He inserted us. He grafted in. And if you'll let it, if you'll serve God, the graft will take. You'll become a part of the tree. You know what's the joy of being a part of the tree? All the nourishment that comes from the root. All the nutrition that comes from. Hallelujah. I am the true vine. Hallelujah. You are brought. Oh, hallelujah. How many wants to be a part of the part? Grafted in. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. One of the things I noticed out there, those orchards in California, those English walnuts you get in the grocery store, those have been hybrid. Those have been grafted in. I remember looking at those orchards and they looked so funny because the trunk up so far, it was rough barked and big, and out of it was a smooth bark tree. I asked the pastor, what is that? He said, that's English walnuts. They take the old walnut tree and they've got to graft in to make that English. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful I'm a part of the tree. But if I look, I've been grafted in. Thank God for Abraham. Thank God for Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and Samuel and David and Elijah and Elisha and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel. Thank God for Christ. Because when I look, that's what I've been grafted into. That's what I've become a part of. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We're grafted in. Verse 17. And some of the branches be broken off. Israel was broken off. Thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. And when thou partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not. Don't be arrogant against the branches, Israel. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Remember one thing. If you was cut off from this root, you'd shrivel up in a hurry. If any man bear not fruit, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I know we got to go on. We'll be finished in a few moments, but these are important things. The Jews have, as a people, have rejected and been rejected. Amen. Because of that. But we as Gentiles, we have no grounds for arrogance. Amen. We were grafted in to share in God's plan, and our very life comes from another. Verse 19. Thou wouldst say then, the branches were broken off that might be grafted in. That's true. And well, because of unbelief, Israel was broken off. And thou standest by faith, but be not high-minded. Don't get arrogant about this, but fear. Yes, the blood Israel, the nation Israel, were broken off when they as a people and a nation rejected Christ, and we were grafted in. But had it not been for an Abraham, had it not been for an Israel, it would not be for us. You know, I've preached very straight this morning what I believe is the Word of God. But it is a despicable thing when arrogance enters into a people that simply says, if you're not a part of our little group, you're not really saved. If you don't go down the list and check everything we check, amen, you're not really saved, because we got a hold of something special and we're an elitist group. Amen. Before you get that arrogance, remember, you'd be nothing if you hadn't been grafted in. Are you more holy than Abraham and David and Samuel? Oh, I know it's a straight way. I've already preached that. But I have no room for smugness or arrogance. I just got to let it say, God, I did, you grafted me in. And anything I have, it came from that which you grafted me to. Oh, I've got to go on. We're not snooty about this. Verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not you. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail. Severity, but toward the goodness of if thou continue in his goodness, abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Even if God didn't keep Israel, the natural branches, when they refused to go his way, neither will he keep the grafted in branches, the Gentiles, if they quit believing and following the right way. I am afraid, again without arrogance, I am afraid that much that calls itself the church, the Gentile church, has developed this attitude. I've been part of the tree. I'll always be a part of the tree. But Paul said, Paul warned, if he kept not Israel when they did not continue in the right way, neither will he keep the Gentile church either if it doesn't continue. Oh, he wants to be a part of the part. Even verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. Oh, if Israel only believe, she'll be grafted back in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, or out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? If God lobbed them off and grafted us in, isn't he capable of re-grafting in Israel? They're the same nature as a root. You can adopt someone and make them heir, but it's easy to make a natural blood relative and son and daughter and heir. Oh God, hallelujah, thank you that we're a part of the part. Israel will viably be grafted back in. There will be 144,000. That's still only a few. It's still only a part. But there's some Jews that can say, I'm going to be a part of the part. Hallelujah. Let's read on. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this ministry, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Don't get arrogant. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. There's no room for arrogance. One true sign that one is a true part of the true people of God is he is not conceited, he is not self-righteous, and he is not arrogant. He is firm in what he believes, but he's just thankful that by the grace of God, he has been grafted in. But God is going to graft Israel in again. We are in a time span called the fullness of the Gentiles. Amen. Israel rejected Christ. And as Paul and Jesus turned their attention to the Gentiles, so did God. We're the fullness of the Gentiles. When the Gentiles come to God, when the Gentiles come into the church, but there is coming a time on God's agenda when the fullness of the Gentiles will be ended with the coming of our Lord, and God will turn his attention and draw out a part, a remnant from Israel, and graft them back in. Hallelujah. Let's read on. And so all Israel shall be saved. I'll say this right now before I read any further. All Israel, it doesn't mean everyone that's an Israelite. The all means of Jews and Gentiles. The true ones of the Gentiles and the true ones of the blood, Jews, all Israel, whether they be Gentile birth or Jewish birth, if they've become Israel by accepting Christ, all of Israel shall be saved. It is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Since Jesus came into my heart. Why are we a part of the people of God? Why are we a part of the part? Because we're good? No, because He took away our sins. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to read on so we can get down. Verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. The Jews tried to kill the Gentiles on Paul's day. And then after the church got established and went away from God, they tried to kill the Jews, called them Christ killers. But as touching the election, the chosen, they are the beloved of God, beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I'm going to stop here simply to say this. Though there might be an application here, people grossly misunderstand when it says the gift and calling of God's without repentance. And it may mean this in application, but that's not what Paul's saying. They take it to mean if God has given you something to do, you may go out and sin, you may live wickedly, but God has still had that call on your life and He still holds you to do that. That may be an application, but that's not what Paul's saying. He's talking about God's calling and what God said He would do. God said, I'm going to have a people, and He need never repent of that. He's never going to change His mind about that. God is going to have a people. God said, I will keep my covenant with you. Amen. I have called you, and there's never a need for God to repent, because He will keep His covenant with His people. Let's read on. Hallelujah. You like those words, don't you? Hallelujah. Let's read on. Now you got to help me. Where are we at, brother? For as in times past have not believed God. How many can say it's me? In the times past I didn't believe. Yet now we've obtained mercy. Israel had unbelief, but we've obtained mercy. How many in this place has obtained mercy? Have you obtained mercy? Are you here because of mercy? Are you here because of mercy? Oh, hallelujah. Someone tell me what verse I'm on. I've lost myself. Verse 30, thank you. Amen. For verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded that all are in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse 33, here's how Paul concludes. Now, you've been so attentive. You've listened with open hearts and so responsive. But there are people that if you wade through this, they'll say, oh, how boring. Oh, how dry. I mean, what is all that stuff? But Paul got to talking about it, and look how he concludes. He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding. Paul's about to erupt in worship just talking about what I talked about. Next verse. Amen. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him? Here he goes. He's been talking about grafting in a remnant, a root, and now he erupts in praise. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Oh, if you're saved this morning, it was of Him and through Him and to Him. If you're a part of a part, it was, amen, because of Him. It was of Him. It was through Him. It was to Him. And we ought to erupt in praise. We are the people of God. We are the remnant. We're grafted to the root. We are a part of the part. To Him be glory forever. I'll just worship Him as the music comes. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Forgive me. Well, hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Go ahead and stand. I'm closing with this. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, go ahead and worship him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I just want to tell you, if you're not a part of the park this morning, you can be before you leave here. You say, I'm wild in sin, so to speak. Amen. I'm wild. I'm telling you, he will graft you in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to be saved. Hallelujah. Come on, some of your brothers, come and pray with him right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Oh, is there anyone else that wants to be a part of the part? Hallelujah. God's making up a people. God's making up a bride. Oh, come on. Is there anyone else? You want to be a part of the part? As many as would, come pray with this one right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You're here, you're not saved. You don't have the peace of knowing you're going to heaven. Amen. Would you come right now? He'll save you. He'll change your life. You can be a part of the part. You don't have to have doubt. You can believe. Right now, God's doing his work. Right now, God's grafting in another branch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else you'd like to come and be a part of the part? I would invite everyone to join these on the altar. If you're here and you need Christ, you want to be a part, you come. They'll pray with you. Amen. They'll be here for you. Come with everybody that's coming. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I invite the whole church to come. If you need the Lord, just come. When the church comes, somebody will pray with you. Somebody will be here. Hallelujah.